Our Heavenly Father, you do give us hope on this All Saints Sunday as we consider and give thanks for the saints past, the saints present, and the saints in the future. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to remember the wonderful works that you have performed in our midst, in our lives, through people gone before us, through people who are here, through the people that will come after us, that all together one day through Christ we might be saints triumphant in heaven. So grant us in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
This is an exciting time of the year. Last Sunday was, you celebrated, I'm sure, Reformation, but it was All Hallows Eve. And as we were talking about with the children, when I grew up in southern Minnesota, the churches that were out in the country, and just like they had public schools every few miles, it seems like we had Lutheran churches maybe every 8-10 miles from each other. But what happened then, as people moved to town, the churches moved to town too. But each church had its own cemetery. And even if you went to town, you were still buried in that rural cemetery in those country churches. My family, we had my father's church in one place, and then my mother's family church about 8 miles away from that. And on All Hallows Eve, the day before All Saints Sunday, that's what October 31st, All Hallows Eve. Hallow simply means holy. We look forward to the next day when we gave thanks for all the saints. It was the custom in the early church. It started already in the 3rd and 4th centuries, where on the anniversary of someone's death, they would go to the cemetery, and there they would prayerfully give thanks for that person, and they would remember that person. Well, that got to be a little much. So after a while, in about 608 AD, they decided they were going to set aside the first Sunday in November as All Saints Sunday, where you would give thanks for all who had died in each church from the previous All Saints Sunday to the current All Saints Sunday. And that, for Christian churches, historical biblical Christian churches throughout the world, has pretty much been the custom every All Saints Sunday. But as we were talking about in the children's lesson, we would have to get all cleaned up because we would always go to somebody's house for a party after we cleaned up the cemetery. And we did. We had a wonderful time. We lived on farms, so as it got dark, we would take off. Just before it got dark, we'd go to the cemetery, and everybody would gather there, all the people and their families, and we'd be cleaning and washing tombstones and pulling weeds. Somebody would have one of those push mowers, and they'd be mowing. We'd get the cemetery all ready so that All Saints Sunday, we could all be proud of the fact that our relatives were in heaven, and we had honored where they were buried. And sure enough, as it got dark, we did jump out from behind the tombstones, and thus All Hallows Eve, we have Halloween that comes from that, and thus the traditions of frightening each other and being scary and so forth. Now, folks, I know there's a lot of churches that say, oh, Halloween is evil. That's simply a bunch of malarkey. Jesus overcame sin, death, and the devil. You don't have to be afraid of him anymore. If you don't like Halloween, don't celebrate it. But you don't have to call it a harvest festival and then dress up in scary costumes anyway. That's what a lot of churches do. No. Halloween, All Hallows Eve, it's the day when we get ready for All Saints Sunday, when we remember that Jesus won power and victory over sin, death, and Satan. You celebrated last Sunday the Festival of Reformation. We're justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Luther restored it. We were all Catholics a whole lot longer than we've been Lutherans. You know, Luther was right when he said, hey, no, this whole thing with purgatory just got totally out of control. And then they were selling indulgences and bones of Peter. Peter didn't have as many bones as they were selling all over the world. He had relatives out of purgatory. Old Uncle Joe, he was a real bounder. Everybody knew that he couldn't get to heaven right away. So, enterprising priest said, what? He's in purgatory, place of purification. Then somebody said, hey, you want to get him out? Here's the deal. I've got a slip of paper that for $5, I'll get old Uncle Joe 10 years out of purgatory. And it got even worse. And by the time of the Reformation, they were trying to build the facilities in Rome, and they were selling indulgences and bones of Peter and everybody, saints' bones and so forth. And Luther comes along and he says, no. When you die, what? You go to heaven or you don't go to heaven. And you get there solely through faith in Jesus Christ. It's a gift. And that's what All Saints Sunday is all about. I don't know about you, but I really, oh, I'm not a big fan of the New Orleans Saints, but I like that song. Remember, when all the saints come marching in, I want to be in that number. Everybody wants to be in that number. Everybody wants. Now, how do you get there? Well, we as Christians, historical biblical Christians, understand, just as we celebrated last Sunday, the Festival of the Reformation, that we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. That's who Jesus was. I don't know if you listened carefully as the lessons were read. Remember the gospel lesson this morning. Very comforting gospel from John. We used it at almost all funerals there. Remember when they get into this whole thing, Philip says to Jesus, we want to see the Father. And Jesus says, I don't know how to break this to you, Philip. But when you see me, who do you see? The Father. I am God, is what he's saying. We get into the whole mystery of the Holy Trinity. Nobody will ever understand it. When you get to heaven and you're a saint triumphant and you want to understand it, you go up to God. You don't even have to make an appointment, I don't think, and you ask him to explain it all to you. But what we know is how God reveals it to us. He reveals it to us. The Father creates us. Then he sends the Son. And the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, enters the womb of the Virgin Mary and is created there without sexual intercourse. And he is born sinless, the spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. On Good Friday, he suffers sin, death, and for our sake, the punishment for sin, remember, is always physical death. Jesus suffers it. It is spiritual death, hell, eternal separation from our Heavenly Father. If you're not among the saints because you've rejected Christ and don't believe in him, that's what you experience when you die. Eternal separation. All support systems withdrawn. That's hell. But as Christians who have received the gift of faith in Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, Emmanuel, we're coming up to Advent in a few weeks. I know Christmas is just a couple months off already, and nobody wants to think about that just yet, because I've got to get a boat to go out where the supply chain is all messed up and get my wife's Christmas gift, or I may not live to see a second Christmas. But we are told that Jesus is God in the flesh, that he is Emmanuel, God with us, and he pays the penalty for our sins. Easter, he rises. And then, with his ascension into heaven, he and the Father send the Holy Spirit, the one who creates faith and union with Jesus Christ in us. Just as the children, when they were baptized, when you and I were baptized, we didn't do a thing. Probably you cried and screamed while you were being baptized, if you were like a great many of the children. But the Holy Spirit did everything. The Holy Spirit created faith and union with Jesus Christ in us, and we belong to him. So that because of Christ, when we breathe our last, just like the saints triumphant, we know where we're going to end up. We're going to go to heaven. That's the wonderful truth of All Saints Sunday. All Saints Day is a time to remember all who have gone before. You know, God puts everyone here for a purpose. He put all my relatives and it's sad. I don't think I have a single aunt or uncle left. And I had 14 or 18 of them at one time. grandparents, and I had many grandparents on each side left. If I go back to Minnesota, there's nobody to see but my brother. And he's not even a Viking fan, so why would I have to see him? Although that's looking better, but he's not. Now, but think about it for a moment. God puts everybody here for a purpose. Remember all your relatives, the saints who have gone before. Your parents, your grandparents, maybe siblings, maybe even children. They're all here for a purpose. All Saints Day is a time when you remember what they have contributed to your life, to your family's life, to the world, and you give thanks to God that He put them here and they were here for a purpose. All Saints Day is a time when you remember why you and I are here. Just like the children are all saints, we're all saints too. Why? Because our sins are forgiven. That's what makes us saints. We are holy and acceptable in God's eyes because Jesus has forgiven our sins. So that when our life here upon this earth ends, what happens? Christ sends His holy angels. They escort our soul, our life, our consciousness to heaven. That's the immortal part of us. Remember when we're created? God created human beings. He created them with an earthly body out of the dust of the ground. And then He breathed in them what? An eternal soul, breath of life. That's what your soul is. And in confirmation class, we always tell the children, they say, well, Pastor, what's your soul? Is it like a ghost? I'd say, well, I don't know. Close your eyes and just imagine that you can think, you can feel, you can see, you can move around, but you don't have a body. That's what happens when you die. That soul, that life, that consciousness goes to heaven. And then on the last day, Jesus will return. He will recreate the dust that's left. We were talking about Bible class this morning. You want to be cremated? That's up to you. God didn't put you back together. You want a $25,000 hermetically sealed coffin that's guaranteed not to leak for a lifetime, whatever that means? You can do that too, but what's going to happen? God's still going to have to put you back together. He's still going to recreate you. That's what's going to happen on the last day. Remember Paul says in Thessalonians, do not want you to grieve like those who grieve, who have no hope, for you believe in Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say that when he comes again, Jesus will bring in what? The souls of those who have fallen asleep. And their bodies will be recreated, body and soul reunited. Those who are alive will be transformed, and off we're going to go to heaven. Now don't worry about all that left behind garbage. I know some people, every time we read the book of Revelation, they go into a panic attack. I want to tell you, when I was in graduate school in theology, I had a professor who was probably one of the wisest men I've ever taken a lesson from. He said, gentlemen, the book of Revelation, don't worry about it. All it is a book of hope, a book of comfort. And the lessons we read this morning should be pretty comforting to you as long as you understand them correctly. The people in John's day to whom he writes the book of Revelation, they were undergoing great, great persecution. They were being put to death, thrown to the lions, burned at the stake. They were being tortured. They were being sold into slavery. And they were saying to themselves, did we believe in the right one? Is Satan stronger and evil stronger than Jesus? And John is given this wonderful book of comfort that simply says, hang in there. Hang in there. Just like the Minnesota Vikings for 60-some years are still hanging in, and we're hoping. He says, Jesus is stronger and is going to defeat Satan. That's what it's all about. And you're going to experience heaven. Revelation 7. You get home, read it. It's kind of an interesting book. There's a non-Christian cult that simply said as the first verses, 1 through 9, say that there's 144,000 people in heaven. There's 12,000 from each tribe. And once they said only 144,000 people could go to heaven. And once they reached that, they were in a big panic. I mean, why would you join their cult if there wasn't any more room in heaven? Now, we understand that 144,000 is a symbolic number. It's a perfect number. 12,000 from all 12 tribes. Everybody that God intends to go to heaven is going to be there. We looked at Revelation 7 and it says, also then, behold the great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, and clothed in white robes. Why? Because their robes were washed clean in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Through Christ our sins are forgiven. That's a pretty wonderful thing. Everybody has the opportunity to go to heaven. Now think about it. Why does Shepherd of the Valley exist? Why did we start this church years ago? We started it so that people could go to heaven. Now, I don't know if you've kept track, but I'm sure somewhere in your church records, there's a list of all the people from the time we started this church until today that have, through the ministry of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church of Oceanside, California, have entered the eternal rest heaven through the ministry of this church. And God willing, and the creek don't rise, whatever that means, centuries more, the earth lasts that long, decades, generations, more people through the ministry that you leave here as your congregation enters a new phase and calling a new pastor, and you gather around whoever that pastor may be to support him, and you work together. Why? So that you carry out the Great Commission. I always got a kick out of churches when I was an officer in the district that would spend a lot of time worrying about what their church motto was. I can tell you what every church's motto should be. Jesus gave it to us when he ascended into heaven. The disciples said, you're going to leave us, Lord, what should we do now? He said, get up, go, make disciples of all nations by baptizing them, by teaching them everything that I have commanded you. Why? So that they one day can enter heaven for the saints' triumph on all saints, just as we all do. That's what your ministry is all about. That's why you exist. That you exist to support one another. You exist to help one another. You exist to be saints for one another while you're here upon this earth. God has you here for a purpose. One day, when we die, at some church somewhere, they're going to remember us. They're going to remember us during the prayers. They're going to put us in the worship folder as one who entered glory, as one who went to heaven because of Jesus Christ and the ministry of the church that we were in by the power of the Holy Spirit. Give thanks for that. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, we're all sinful. Nobody's perfect. I don't know. My wife told me the other day, she said, you only have two faults. One is you don't listen, and I can't remember what else she said now. I think about it. Nobody's perfect, but we're forgiven. And because of that forgiveness, when the saints go marching in, whenever God calls our number, his angels can escort our soul, our life, our consciousness to heaven. What a wonderful thing that is, we pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that once again, we have been privileged to celebrate All Saints Day, to give thanks for the saints past, to give thanks for the saints in our present time, to reach out to help one another as your saints, and then, Lord, to pass the faith on to future generations so that so many more might enter sainthood triumphantly, eternal life. So comfort and strengthen us with that certainty in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.